eBay sellers, it's Suzanne A. Wells, and this is episode number 36 of eBay the Right Way. Today's date is November 24th, 2021. And today we'll be chatting with Allison, who is located in Missouri, and her specialty, or I guess I should say favorite types of items to sell are vintage and even some antique items. Before we jump into that interview, I wanted to update you on my latest project that I mentioned in last week's podcast, as well as on the Facebook group. And I'm so excited about this project. It is at the printer right now, so it should be hitting my eBay store in early December. I have developed a fun and interesting and interactive calendar for eBay sellers. And real quickly, what is it? It's a 2022 wall calendar that measures 11 by 17, so just a standard size calendar. But what I've done is each month there is a new bolo that I have not put anywhere yet. So no repeats from the 2021 bolo book. So that's on one page when you flip up the month. A big picture of the bolo, a little bit about it, how many have sold within the last year, all that kind of information. And then on the calendar part where you have the days with the blocks are all kinds of fun things like reminders. The postal holidays are very obvious, so you don't have to wonder, is that day a postal holiday or not? It's clearly marked. So as soon as you flip up to the new month, you can see if there are any postal holidays coming up for that month. There are questions about your business so that you can watch your business evolve over the year, like how many items do you want in your store? How many items did you list this month? Probing questions to help you think about your business and what you're doing. And there are also some fun trivia items, nostalgia, encouragement, motivation, and accountability. I'm going to help you tackle that death pile by attempting to hold you accountable for listing items from that pile and getting caught up. So this is really a neat item. I put a lot of thought into this as far as what do sellers need? What would they like? How can I help them make their business more fun and be with them on a daily basis? So that will be coming to my eBay store soon, and I will definitely announce it on YouTube and Facebook and through the podcast so we can all use this fun tool to work together and make 2022 a happy and successful year on eBay. Okay, the commercial is over, and now into the interview. Okay, we have Allison in Missouri with us today. Say hi to the listeners.
Hi, everybody.
And let's jump in with the standard questions at the beginning. Where exactly are you located?
I am in Springfield, Missouri. And I actually grew up about 100 miles east of Springfield. So this is my home state. I've kind of lived in several other different places, and hopefully I'm settled here now.
What has you moving around?
Well, let me see. I married and went to Iowa, and then that didn't work out too well. So then I moved to Georgia to kind of start all over. My dad is he's retired military, and that's where he had settled. So I thought, well, I'm going to go down there and kind of get my kids through school. And so we did that. And that's actually when I got started on eBay, was a couple years ago in Georgia. And, but, you know, I wanted to move back to my home state and be with my family, my, you know, my parents here. And I also, I have an adult son who's autistic, and I wanted to get him moved closer back to my brothers and their families.
Okay. So a lot of dynamics going on there.
Right, right.
Okay. And what was the catalyst? What got you started selling on eBay?
Well, it was an accident. actually, I started in the summer of 2019, and they opened up a Goodwill maybe about a year before that. And I loved shopping there. I would go there and shop for myself. Well, I will buy things like a purse or, you know, clothing, and I'll use it for a little bit and then I want to get rid of it. And I thought, well, let me see. And I've been an eBay member for years, I think since 2003. And I've sold a few things here and there. And I thought, well, I'm going to sell this purse. And it's nothing fancy or anything, but it was still a good purse. It was leather. And anyway, so I'm like, how do I sell this? How do I even ship it when it sells? So I started Googling things. And that's when I found your YouTube video. And I think you were talking about bags then. Oh. And so... Anyway, that's how I got started. I started listening to your videos and I thought, people do this for a living?
They're doing this on purpose? Yeah.
I know. I just wanted to sell and get my money back for it. So anyway, I thought, well, okay, I'm going to try a few things, you know. So I had a few things in my closet, and that's when you really kind of start looking at your closet. And I had so many things, you know, I used to manage a dental office. And so I had a lot of office clothes that I didn't wear anymore. And a lot of them were really nice, nice things. And I started listing those. Some of them, you know, went for really good money. I mean, for me, you know, like a denim top, you know, $75. It was a Ralph Lauren Sport. And I used to shop at this Dillard's all the time, and they had this awesome sales rack. I think I probably spent like $10 or $15 on it, you know, at the time, you know, 15 years ago.
Isn't that great that you've worn it for years?
And I know. It's just like,
I mean, I call my closet a cash center. It's just, you know, things appreciate and you don't even realize it.
Right. And, you know, and here's one of the things that I've been meaning to go through. I just haven't had time, but because I like to get out and go shopping instead of going through my closet. It's more interesting, you know, who wants to clean out their closet?
And when you're at home all day, it's like, that's a break. That's right. Something, you know, you get out of that stagnant energy of looking at the computer, and you get out among people and you maybe get a nice coffee while you're out, and
right.
you just make it an outing.
Right.
You're kind of refreshed, and then you can come back home and get back to work.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I've really been trying to make time to do is I love shoes. So I have shoes in containers and Rubbermaid boxes. I have shoes under my bed in containers. I mean, and a lot of them were from when I worked in an office, and they were nice shoes. Some of them I haven't even worn. I bought thinking I would wear them. I'd buy them on clearance. Think, okay, well, I'll wear these. And I never did. And I'm thinking, you know what? I've been dragging these things around for 15, 16, 17 years. I just need to get rid of them. Because I stay at home now, all I wear are tennis shoes and flip-flops.
Or nothing.
So, I know. I mean, I'm all about comfort now.
Yeah. I mean, and as you get older, that becomes so much more important. You know, you don't want to wear shoes that are uncomfortable, you know, especially when your day is your own. You can do whatever you want.
So, you know, that's something I need to do. And, you know, every spring and every fall, I go through my closet and sort out things. Okay, I haven't wore this, so I'm going to list this, then I'm just going to throw this away. So, but that's kind of how I started. And then I was talking to my family here in Missouri about it. And my mom started to hold back things for me. She puts things on the dresser in my old bedroom. So whenever I come to visit, there's a box of stuff. Can you sell this? Can you sell that? She let me have, it's not a, it's this old, like 70s peasant dress. It was a long brown floral.
Is it a Jessica McClintock gunny sacks?
No, it's not. It didn't have any tag in it. But mom said she remembered where she bought it. She bought it in Kansas City. This would have been, I think, early 70s, somewhere around there, mm-hmm. when she lived in that time. And she had that dress, and I remember pictures of her wearing it at Easter, and I was standing beside her wearing my old flower print dress. I think I was about 4 or 5 then, but anyway, she had had that saved, and it had short puffy sleeves, and the elastic was worn out. So I can sew a little bit, so I replaced the elastic, but you know, I sold that for, I think $80. She was shocked.
Yeah, that's in now.
I couldn't believe it.
Cottagecore and all that kind of stuff, and just that revitalized hippie look.
Yes. But there's all of this old stuff that she goes through. And she says, well, can you sell this? And she gave me, I think last weekend, I don't know what the name of it, the brand is, but it's an old pair of denim overalls. And they belong to my grandpa. And they must be old because I don't ever remember him wearing them. So she says, well, can you sell this? I said, well, I don't know. Let me take it home and I'll see. You know, I haven't even looked anything up. I haven't cleaned it yet because I've had so many other things. But, you know, I get a lot of things from her.
Yeah, with a mom like that, I'd be dropping by every day. Hey, mom, I made you some cookies. Do you have anything for me?
Well, you know, she, here's something else too. My stepdad never threw anything away. Everything always had a purpose, or someday would have a purpose, or one of us kids might need it someday. And there are, I think I probably talked about this on the Facebook group page. Some of the things that I got. My family had a big estate sale this past spring, and my brother spent days going through sheds, barns. There is so much stuff, and there's enough stuff for another estate sale. And my youngest brother said, I think I'll leave that for the next generation to deal with, because it's so much work. But you know, as we were looking through things to put in the sale, my brother would say, hey, you know, can you sell this? Or, you know, why don't you go ahead and take this or that? And so that's how I found some things too. But, you know, my stepdad, he was, like I said, he passed away a couple months ago. And so my mom has been.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, thank you. My mom has been going through a lot of things in the house, in the basement, in the garage. And she's finding things that we didn't even know existed in the house. I mean, you know, I came home, well, let me see, it was about a month ago. I'm like, where'd you get all those prints and painting frames, you know, paintings at? Why do you have a box of them in the garage? She said, oh, they were shoved back behind something else. So I took a few of them home, and now they're hanging up in my house. They're probably, I don't know, I'd say 1950s, 60s.
Oh, that's fun.
Yes.
Yeah, that's your mid-century modern decor.
Yes, that's sort of what I'm into, you know. I know if I find it, I should sell it, but I enjoy it too. So
I know. Now what, maybe, what year were you born?
74.
Okay. Okay. So you're a Gen Xer and your parents yes. were baby boomers. So yeah, you're right in the middle of all of that. Being able to remember some of these things that you grew up with.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. What is your other job? You said you work at home and you have other jobs other than eBay.
This one I started a few years ago. It was during the time my son, who's autistic, is transitioning into adulthood out of high school. So I thought, okay, he's going to be home and I really need to kind of be a little more flexible for him. And so I found this job that, and it's only part-time. We rate web pages, try to make the internet a safer place, making sure that if somebody is looking something up, that they get the results that they're looking for and not something that would cause a bad experience for them.
So you spend time evaluating websites for how customer friendly they are and how user friendly and that kind of thing.
Right. Right. So anyway, that, and it is, it's interesting. Basically, there's a lot of people like me, probably all over the world. And basically they're training it, the search engines, to do better. Anyway, yeah. So I do that.
And, there's a lot of crappy stuff on the internet that doesn't need to be there.
You're right. Yeah. And those get rated, really low.
Well, good. I'm glad you're out there doing that job.
Some of it is a little boring and it gets kind of repetitious, but, you know, it pays the bills.
Okay. And did you say you had a second job besides eBay in that?
Nope, it's just that one and eBay. So both of them are really flexible. So I don't have any set time that I have to work. You know, usually I get up in the morning, I'll work a couple hours and then maybe work on eBay a little bit. Like if I have any shipments, then I'll ship those out and then I'll come back home and work some more.
Perfect.
So that's kind of how my day goes. I try to split it up a little bit so I don't feel like I'm constantly sitting all day long.
Right. That's sitting is the new smoking, as they say.
You're right. You're right. You know, and it got so bad that I finally bought one of those rising desks, mm-hmm. you know, that you put on the table. And so sometimes I'll stand up just to move around a little bit. So that helps me to feel a little bit.
That can catch up with you. I have my shipping supplies and my inventory stored so that it forces me to bend over or squat down, you know, like it forces me to move around. I don't have everything right. accessible standing up. Like I did that on purpose. That was intentional so that, okay, to get these mailers out, I've got to squat down or sit on the floor. And so, I feel like, oh, you can incorporate it into your day. And of course, the older you get, the more you need to do that. So
right.
it's just,
right.
it's just being intentional. Yeah.
Well, you know, and, you know, being home all the time, I've had to start a workout program. Just, I used to be, you know, I'm apartment living now, and I used to be in a house, a big house where I had a yard to take care of. So now I don't have all that extra work. And I'm sitting a lot during the day. So I have had to incorporate a workout routine every day so that I don't, you know, get really unhealthy.
Right. But, you know, apartment living is great for, you know, later in life, especially if you're alone, because
right.
you own your time. So all that time that you would have spent doing the yard and the landscaping and all that is free time. You don't, it doesn't take up your time. So, you know, it's a trade-off. A lot of people miss working in the yard once they move to an apartment, but I'm in a community where they take care of the landscaping. So
I hear those leaf blowers crank up Tuesday mornings and I'm like, oh, good. They're here to make it look beautiful. I don't have to do anything.
I know. That's nice. You know, and I thought about that. I thought, you know, maybe, you know, I'll get my son and I a house, you know, a small house just for us. And I might still do that. But right now I'm thinking, you know, it's so nice to not have to take care of the yard. If something breaks or tears up, you know, that's somebody else's, you know, problem that they've got to deal with. And so, yeah. You know, that is kind of nice. Plus, with the housing market right now, I couldn't afford one if I wanted one.
I know. A lot of people are just kind of stuck. They sold their houses for a boatload of money, but they don't have anywhere to go. And they don't want to buy something at an inflated price. So they're just.
I just read about that. They're sitting back renting apartments somewhere, just waiting until it goes back down.
Well, and people in my age group are moving in with their grown children living in their basement. Like it's a reversal of what you would think. And,
yes,
you know, they know they're only going to be there a short time, but the apartment rents are just skyrocketing because of this.
That's
and
terrible.
I think we're getting to a tipping point where people just aren't going to pay that now. They're going to figure out something else. They're going to go live in a pod,
you know,
or something like that, a storage facility that's climate controlled. They're going to figure something else out.
Right, because, you know, my rent here, I moved a year ago from Georgia, and just finding an apartment, I couldn't believe, I hadn't rented in years. But it had more than doubled since the last time I had rented. And I was just shocked. And it went up another $50 this year when my lease renewed. And I've read that that's the average for a 2-bedroom apartment where I live, you know, and a 1-bedroom, they would go up $25 a year. I thought, this is ridiculous.
Well, you just got to get those shoes listed to cover that.
I know. That's what I keep thinking.
So let's talk about some of the things you've sold, because I reached out to you. I had seen you on the Money Making Mondays pretty regularly selling stuff. Do you have some memorable sales that you could share?
I think my favorite, or one of my favorites, is from 2020. And I was still living in Georgia, and I found this at Goodwill. I think it was 7 rolls of Winchester, the riding horse and the gun, wallpaper border. Mm-hmm. 7 rolls. I think they were like 15. What is it? What do they come by? 15 feet.
Okay.
I think. Yeah, I think so. 15 feet. And anyway, I couldn't find any anywhere. I searched Google, eBay. I couldn't find anything that looked anything like it. And I thought, I just don't know what to price this. I thought, oh, I'll do something ridiculous. I think I paid $2 a piece for each one, 7 rolls. And I listed them for $50 a piece. Finally, when I thought, okay, I'm just going to stick $50 on here each roll. And they sold overnight to somebody up north that owns some sort of boat store or something. But it was, I think, what was it, $350 overnight, you know, and plus they paid the shipping. You know, it was nice to wake up to that next morning. You know, I thought, oh, my goodness, I can't believe somebody paid $50 a roll.
I know, it's crazy. And this is almost like the slot machines. Just, you just don't know, any second your phone could light up with some kind of crazy sale like that. That's what keeps me glued to it. Those usually happen when I'm asleep or when I'm involved in something else, you know, working out or whatever, and not, you know, swimming. And it's like, you can't have your phone in there. So you just go about your business and these sales just pop up out of, you can't predict it. That's the thing that keeps people addicted to it, is it's that intermittent reinforcement. It's just
crazy.
You never know. So those were like $2 a piece, you said?
Right. $2 a piece. I always look at wallpaper and border now, you know, and I've sold a few others, you know, maybe $15 here and there. If I think it looks unique, you know, I'll pick it up. You know, I still have three rolls of this. I think it's hideous and ugly, but it's this new rolls of wallpaper that's like from the 80s, you know, when blue and pink was in, you know, and the.
That florally stuff.
Yes. Oh, and I think it's ugly. Well, nobody bought it at my family's estate sale.
Everyone else thought it was ugly too.
I know. So my brother, you know, he said, here, take those. I'm like, I don't know. He said, well, you say ugly sales, take it. So anyway, so I took it. They're still listed. You know, I probably need to go back in and, you know, I've had a few, you know, a little bit of interest in it, but it's just been a few months. So we'll see. It'll take somebody who likes that decor.
Yeah, you never know. And with all these retro shows now that supposedly, you know, they're trying to make it look like it took place in the past, that may be exactly what they need for that that home they're trying to recreate or whatever. I remember I had a neighbor that was, she could sew, and she made all these drapes and valances out of Waverly patterns, you know, Waverly. It's a brand of home decor fabric and wallpaper and all that. Right. So I just visualize that when you're talking about this wallpaper, it was all florally with like ribbons, and her whole house was like that with all these drapes and valances, and she'd make placemats and everything to match. It was all matchy matchy with this crazy Waverly stuff. And I have seen that in Goodwill, the fabric bolts. I've got a couple of them for sale now because that's kind of a new category for me, but those will sell. That fabric, people are having great success selling old fabric, whether it's on the bolt or just the remnants.
Yeah, and I've been kind of looking into that too. You know, I found a remnant of old Space Jam fabric with Sylvester the Cat playing basketball. You know, it was from the 90s. Mm-hmm. It was this green plaid. And I thought, you know, somebody might want that, or maybe somebody is decorating their kid's room in Space Jam, you know. So anyway, I listed it a couple months ago. But, you know, and another thing, we were talking about wallpaper. A month or two ago, I sold just one roll of wallpaper border, and it reminded me of something from Golden Girls. You know, it's that pastel, you know, those pastel colors. And I listed that. Well, somebody messaged me about it and said, well, because I don't have FedEx listed as a shipper. Anyway, she said, can you ship this overnight FedEx for me? I'll have to use my corporate card to pay for it. She said, I need it shipped overnight because we're doing some sort of shoot. So I assume it's for some show or commercial or something where they needed this wallpaper border. So anyway, we did. And she, let me see, I think it sold for, I can't remember, it was $15 or $20, but shipping was $85. Gosh. I about died. I thought, I cannot believe somebody paid $85 for, you know, it was like $100 for that roll of wallpaper border, just one roll, mm-hmm. just to make the scene, I guess.
Right. Well, and back to her requesting that you use her FedEx account. So basically, just for people listening that don't know, that's fine. You know, some people, they get a better deal. They just want to use their account. You just ship it, and then you just put the tracking number in manually and mark it as shipped. So some people think, oh, this is some kind of scam. They want me to use their account. And it's just, no, it's their account, and they probably get a corporate discount. So it's cheaper than paying whatever's on the listing.
And actually what I told her, I said, let me go in here and I'm just going to add FedEx, or add the type of shipping that you want, so you can choose that. And she did. She paid for it within a few minutes, and I shipped it off that day.
Perfect. Can't complain about that. Now, do you have a favorite category that you like to sell in?
Probably women's clothes. I really like vintage clothes, probably because I like history and I'm kind of the romantic.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at this and, you know, or I'll see something in a store and I think, oh, you know, somebody will like this. Somebody out there will like this. And I've had, I've been selling a lot of my grandma passed away last year. And so my aunt gave me a ton of her clothes and I went through them to see which ones didn't have coffee stains or missing buttons. Right. You know, a lot of her things have sold. I've had a lot of success selling, you know, especially the blouses with the big bow in the front. You know, people are really getting back into that now. You know, I guess that style's coming back and the high neck stuff.
Yeah, we wore those in high school. You know, we used to dress up to go to school. Skirt, pantyhose, like a frilly, I call them a pirate shirt, like Jerry Seinfeld.
I agreed to wear this?
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't want to be a pirate.
I remember.
The puppy shirt. and yeah, I mean, we used to dress up and then Fridays was jeans and sports jersey day. Right. But I remember that. And I had a bunch of those frilly blouses with the high neck, like Elizabethan collar almost. It's like, God, how did I stand wearing that all day?
I can't.
I know, like, but I've sold some like that because they were vintage and that's a great piece for theater and drama and a lot of different types of time periods. You know, that could be a useful base piece for a lot of different things. So I'm thinking, well, maybe it could go for that, or maybe somebody just likes to wear this.
And I also follow some other websites that sell just nothing but vintage clothes. And so I kind of know what words, you know, somebody asked me on Facebook about, why do you call it a secretary shirt? And I said, well, I assume it's because it was a career blouse at the time, you know, when they were wearing the nice blouses, you know, they would probably wear it in the office. And I've seen many other reputable vintage stores call them a secretary shirt or a secretary blouse. So I kind of use that.
I remember the secretary look. And when I was in the corporate world, that was almost a degrading type of adjective. You know, you're just a secretary. I remember that so much. It's like, then they changed it to administrative professional and administrative assistant, executive assistant. There's all these other words now because secretary was considered an insult almost, you know, because you can't do anything else other than type and file. You're just a secretary. That was so insulting. So it's funny that that word has come back now to describe clothing.
I know. I see. What else? I've got some Christmas things in my store, but and some other knickknack type things. I've dabbled in toys just a little bit, but you know, you brought up how Casey is going to be doing a spot about Legos, and it almost makes me cry because my oldest son collected Legos from the time he was a little boy, those Bionicles and all those from like 2000. I mean, he was from the time he could play with Legos, he had them. Well, we gave them away a long time ago, you know, after he grew up. And I'm like, oh, you've got to be kidding me. And I think about that. And my son now, he's like, oh, wish we hadn't given those away.
Everybody has stuff like that. I kick myself every day for the stuffed animals that just got donated or the 80s t-shirts. I wasn't a big concert goer. I had a few, but just the other t-shirts with like the groovy writing on them. And, you know, they were vintage. I was definitely a t-shirt person. When I wasn't wearing my frilly blouses to school, I wore t-shirts at home. So everybody has those things, or you see something pop up on the Money Making Mondays and it's like, oh gosh,
I know.
We had those salt and pepper shakers, those dumb Tupperware ones that they were, you know, everybody had them. And
yes.
whoever dreamed they would become special, they were so practical.
I think I know what you're talking about because my mom had a set of those. And my brother said, oh, they're over there at the deer cabin. I'm like, well, can I have them? I'll replace them. No. So they're still sitting at the deer cabin. I'll let them stay there, I guess.
Or that one person who sold a bunch of margarine tubs. Forget who that was. It's the cover photo on one of my $100 sales videos from summer of 2021, I think. And it was, they found them at an estate sale, and it was just these margarine tubs with the lids, and the tubs were different colors, and somebody was using them as bowls and or freezer storage or leftover storage, whatever. Right. And they sold for some crazy price just because the brand of margarine isn't made anymore. And, you know, they became a collectible over time. So it's like, you can't keep everything thinking, oh, that's, I better crazy. Keep this because 20 years from now, somebody might want it.
Right.
And the posters, did you have posters in your room as a teenager?
Oh my goodness. I have posters I need to list, but they belong to my younger brother. But I had posters, and I loved, you know, the teen magazines and Vogue, and I would,
oh gosh, magazines, you know, Tiger Beat and
yes,
17.
Yes.
And, you know, all the stars were in there, Brooke Shields as a teenager, and all the heartthrobs there.
I had heartthrobs and posters of sports cars and, you know, models that I looked up to. You know, I had my whole wall in my bedroom was plastered.
And Ziggy and Garfield and all those, you know, Charlie Brown, just didn't have to be a celebrity. It was all the things that were part of the pop culture during that time. And it's just, I'll see that pop up on the Money Making Mondays is like, oh crap, I had one of those.
Right. I know. In fact, last week I sold, remember the sitcom Alf,
you know, of
about
course.
The alien. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I had this, it's a child's puzzle, you know, one of those board puzzles, and it's of Alf playing the piano, and I played the piano. So, and I loved Alf back then. So anyway, that was hanging up on my wall. Well, when we were going through things, my brother found it in the basement. And he said, here, why don't you take this? I'm like, oh, I forgot I even had that. Like I said, my stepdad didn't throw any of our things away. There's probably, we're still going to be finding things for years, you know, stuff that, you know, he would put in a box and that belonged to us when we were little. It's just crazy.
Well, but that's actually kind of fun because it is really a treasure hunt going through all these old things that you didn't even know he kept. Or was he a pack rat, or do you think it was just sentimental?
I think he always thought something either had a purpose or he liked to collect things. And I don't think it was so much as I think he thought something would, if he kept it long enough, it would be worth something someday. So that's why he did. But, you know, like my brothers had Dukes of Hazzard stuff. My oldest brother had G.I. Joes, you know, so it's just tons of stuff and that we grew up with. So.
Yeah, I wish I had saved my Charlie Brown lunchbox. Thermos.
Wow. No joke.
I know. 1 year, I think my brother turned like 45. I bought him different things off of eBay that we had as children. And one was the wind up Evel Knievel motorcycle thing.
Wow.
And then one was a $6 million man lunchbox. And then one was crazy. The Fisher Price bus. So when I gave him these things, he just thought that was great. And so he was playing as a 45-year-old, he's playing with the Evel Knievel, making it jump the Fisher Price bus with the little people in it. So when I went off to college, my mom had a garage sale and just got rid of a bunch of my stuff. And I didn't even know. I just came home and I'm like, where's my bike? Where's this? Where's that? And she's like, well, yeah, we got rid of a bunch of that. And I had the Snoopy plush with all the different outfits, like the pajamas and the Halloween outfit and all this stuff and all the clothes. And I just loved Snoopy. He was my favorite. And I was like, all that was gone. So that's the kind of stuff I look for, is stuff I had. And, you know, if I find Snoopy in some outfits, I might keep that.
Right. I'm kind of the same way. You know, if it looks like something, you know, and if it belonged to one of my boys, you know, when they were in preschool age, they had all the Blue's Clues stuff. And they had that notebook. I think about that, you know. You know, but when you like move, you know, because back then when they were younger, we rented, and every once in a while we might move, you know, we'd find a better place after a couple years. And so I would do a big clean out and either throw stuff away or donate it, because I didn't want to move around with all this stuff. So
you mentioned something that's in the Bolo book, so I'm going to just do a shout out on that, because I'm looking for that too. And it's on page 150. Students out there, get your books out. And that little thing sells for $200. And I always look for that mixed in with the toys, the little things, you know, those little baskets of random odds and ends. And I'm going to find that. That and the IKEA vase.
No, I always look.
Those are two easy to identify items. Yeah. I mean, these things are out there. People post them from time to time. And if you go on Terapeak, you can see that they have been sold. So it's not like, one sold in the last year. It's many. So,
right.
And I always think about how many of these things in this book, or just bolos in general, are just sitting in somebody's house, just, you know, under the cabinet. They've got six bottles of vintage Wella Balsam shampoo or something like that, that all those shampoos we used as teenagers, you know, gee, your hair smells terrific, and Prel, and everything smelled so good back then.
I know. It was all about the smell, you know, what was it? I think when I was in high school, everybody liked Aussie because it smelled so good.
Okay. Right. But the commercials, all the celebrities, you know, Farrah Fawcett and Jaclyn Smith and all the celebrities with the beautiful hair would do those Wella Balsam commercials. And it's like, I was so dumb as a teenager. I'm like, yeah, if I just buy that and use it, my hair could look like that too.
I know, like Farrah Fawcett.
So yeah, I really fell into the advertising trap on that. That's where my babysitting money went, was for Love's Baby Soft and, you know, all those things, the lotions and all the different things that were popular. I was like, oh, I couldn't wait to go spend my babysitting money at the drugstore and try all these products.
Right.
So let's talk about what was the wallpaper, your highest sale ever?
Yes, that 350, the Winchester wallpaper border,
that was the
highest sale. So
now, do you keep your numbers?
I do. This year, I have not been as good, but about it, but I do, you know, anytime I go out and buy things, or even if mom gives me anything, I keep a notebook and I write everything down, what it costs me. And I usually try to do it that same day, because sometimes when you're going to yard sales or estate sales, you don't get a receipt. So in order for me to remember what I spent on it, because it's all most time done in cash. So I write everything down, keep it in the notebook. So far, you know, whenever it's time to do taxes, the CPA, he's pretty happy with it. Happy that I keep my mileage and because it all has to be documented.
Do you know what your profit is per month?
Not now. Like I said, this year it's been kind of crazy. I've had to run back and forth helping my mom out. So I'm a little behind with that part of it.
When you're getting free inventory, that's a different situation because there's no cost involved. It's just your time and the fees. So
I have, like I said, I've got my stack of receipts and, you know, my stack of expenses and all of that. I just need to put it in my spreadsheet. And, you know, even when mom's giving me some things, I still go out. If I see a sale, you know, while I'm out running errands, I'm going to stop.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, you know, I think our cars just automatically do that. You know, we don't even have to try.
Right. You know, I see a sign and I tell my son, you know, okay, we're going to stop. Maybe you'll find something you like too.
Right. Yeah. And it's good to have a helper and another pair of eyes. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. As long as you don't stay too long, once whoever's with you is like, okay, let's go. I'm like, but I haven't seen everything yet.
Like, okay, I owe you a Chick-fil-A dinner or pizza or something, you know, for you just sitting there waiting on me.
Yeah. You gotta throw some bribes in there.
Right. Exactly.
Have you shipped many complicated things?
I don't think so. I think when I first started, that was one of the things that kind of hung me up a little bit was, how do I ship it? Now, shipping things doesn't really scare me because I used to work for a company in Georgia, and my job was to work with all of the shipping companies. I worked with returns and damages that were sent back. So I knew how to file claims. I knew, you know, a lot about, you know, in the shipping world. But I think, you know, like, for instance, you know, when I was telling you about the bag that I wanted to sell, I had used it for a few months. I thought, okay, well, I got something else. So now I just want to get rid of it. And then I thought, do I ship it in a bag or do I ship it in a box? I mean, it's kind of those things, but, you know, over time you get more comfortable, you kind of learn what works. And, you know, now I have a built up supply of shipping supplies. Back then I didn't. So I was like, how in the world do I ship this?
Well, and there's so many videos on YouTube now with how to make a box, how to Frankenstein a box. And that you came in at a good time where there are so many resources of how to do that. And I'm just amazed some of these people that make boxes and they do it so fast. And it's, I just don't have the spatial relations ability to, like, I have to watch it three or four times. Like, wait, hold what part where, and how is he doing that?
Right. Me too.
And I did make a few for the premium library that were simple, like how to make a book mailer and how to change the shape of a box with just a few cuts and some things like that. But some of these people that are just shipping ninjas, and you can tell that they didn't alter the video to speed it up. That's just their normal speed. They can really do it fast.
Exactly. Right. I try to stay away from things that, if I have to spend a lot of time trying to figure out how I'm going to ship this, then it's not really worth it unless it's a high dollar thing. But, you know, my brothers will ask, well, can you sell this or that? I'm like, I don't want to ship it.
Right. Yeah. And that's, you know, that's a sticking point for a lot of people. And, you know, if it gives you a stomach ache to think about it, then that's your soul telling you that's not a direction you need to go.
That's right.
On those breakables and electronics and things, it's just, I just don't want to deal with the aftermath.
I will say this. One of the things that it was a boom box that I found. I think it was a Sony. And I found it right after the Goodwill opened back up after it was shut down in 2020. And I went the day, of course, that it reopened. And
of course. You were first in line.
I was. So I found that and I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna take this because I've seen a few of these sell. It was only a couple dollars. So I got it home and I cleaned it up and I listed it. And then when it came time that somebody bought it, then I'm thinking, now what do I do? So this thing is an oblong, weird shaped thing. How do I ship it? So I had to Frankenstein some kind of box. And I guess it got there okay. I never heard anything else, but you know, it was just kind of a pain. I spent more time on it than I should have. And time is money. So I thought, I'm not doing this anymore.
You know what I've done a few times and it's like, oh, why didn't you think about this? Something will sell. And I'm like, oh, that's priority. And I go and I box it up and then I go to ship it. And it's like, oh, this is first class international or eBay standard. It can't go in this box. You dummy. You have to do it over again. It's like, you're so excited to get the sale and you just box it up. And I failed to look at where it was going. So
right.
For listeners out there, if you've done that, yeah, everybody's done that.
Right. I've done it.
Now, do you ever ship parcel select?
Actually, if somebody pays ground, I just bump it up to priority if it's only pennies. And plus it's insured.
Right. No, that's the thing priority. Is a lot of people are having issues with parcel select not showing up on their shipping workflow.
Oh, really?
It shows on mine. And I don't know why some people see it and some people don't, but I usually just bump it up to priority because it's maybe a 50-cent difference. They're going to get it faster. It has the insurance on it. But just a side note for listeners, if you absolutely have to ship it parcel select, if it's hazmat fragrances, then do it through Pirate Ship. They offer it. And then right. You enter that tracking number onto the eBay sales record and mark it as shipped. And that's totally fine. So have you used Pirate Ship?
I have a couple of times. I haven't really sold any large items or anything that I feel like I would benefit using Pirate Ship. So I've only used it a couple things.
Yeah, it's a good backup. And sometimes if it's large or heavy, their prices are better, even over and above the eBay discount. And I'm not putting in a plug for Pirate Ship. I use it to ship my books that are sold on my website, but it's so user friendly. And I had an instance yesterday with someone who had something to ship and was trying to do a parcel select and was not on her eBay workflow. And I was like, oh, we'll just do it through Pirate Ship. And she was like, oh, I should have known that. I didn't put those two together. Of course you can do it that way. So it is a good backup.
Right. And I've used it for personal things too, to ship things maybe to family members. So it's really convenient.
Yeah. It's just so user-friendly. The icons are so big and it's just, there's not all this fine print and it's just really easy. So it took me a while to get on board with that and to get a thermal printer, which I was like 5 years behind on that, but I did all that this year.
I still don't have one of those.
I love it because you don't have to ever order ink. You just, the printer itself, I have a Rollo and I think it was about $200, but you just buy the labels and you never have to buy ink. You know, you don't have all these problems.
Right. I've looked at them thinking, you know, so it's kind of one of those things where since I'm part-time, it's like, someday
Right. Well, the catalyst for me was when I released the Bolo book, I had so many to ship. And, you know, at first it was like 200 a day. It was crazy. And so I was like, I got to find a better way. This using this printer and this ink, that's not cost effective at all. So that's what pushed me into it. But like my daughter had one for 2 years, and I don't know, I'm just one of these people that just, oh, if that's working, don't change it. But sometimes, sometimes it's better. It's just, you just have to let go and do it the more efficient way. So I'm always trying to be more time efficient. So I do like, it's small.
Well,
it's like, it doesn't take up much room. It's like, you know, really small. So it's, you don't have this big old clunky thing to deal with. So anyway, just, you know, just something for the future, a goal.
I know it is. It is. That is one of the things I really would like to get. And the fact that you don't have to buy ink. Ink is so expensive.
Yes, exactly. My last question to my eBay friends is, and since you've only been doing this for a couple of years, you're a good one to ask, what advice do you have for new people or people who are hesitating to get started? What kind of advice would you give them?
You're not going to learn anything unless you just get out there and do it. And, you know, I've made my mistakes throughout this. And I'm, you know, when I make that mistake, it's like, well, I'm not doing that again. Whether it's shipping was kind of my hang up, was how do I ship something? You know, how do I package it for shipping? That was kind of my biggest hang up. But it takes some time to get used to, and just, you know, keep track of your numbers is a big thing, because you don't ever want to get behind on that like I am right now.
Do as I say, not as I do, right?
Right. You know, actually, I've done really good with that on the number thing until this year. I've had a lot of things going on that's kind of taken up more of my time. I would say just get in there and do it, and just make time every day. You know, I hear other sellers saying, even if you just go out there and list one, you know, take pictures of it and list it. And it just helps you to feel a little more accomplished, like you have something that is, you got something done that day, you know, and even if it's just a little bit. So that's kind of how I see it. You know, even if I feel like I'm not getting everything done that I want to get done, if I can just do a little bit, it's still kind of chipping away at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're a checklist person, which I am, I have a to-do list every day, and not everything always gets done. It's just some it's a little ambitious, but that to me is when you can check things off that you did accomplish things. And there's a lot of moving parts with eBay. You may only be able to shop one day. You may only be able to ship and list three things. But if you look at it over time, it all accumulates.
You know, just get started with it and start out small. You know, I think back to how I started and some of the things that I thrifted, and it's like, why did I buy that?
Yeah, we all do that.
What was I thinking?
Yeah, I do. I end so many listings a week and restart them and evaluate what I want to put out there again. And so I know there's people that have thousands of listings, and they say everything sells eventually, but I don't really want thousands of things.
I don't have room for thousands of things.
Right. Yeah. And it's like,
that's why I downsize personally.
It's like, if I've had it a year, no offers, no send offer, like I've never seen it in my send offer. And you can check your items. You go to manage offers to see how many you've sent or received. And that to me is the litmus test of interest. Is if it can have views, but if you don't ever get any offers or it doesn't show up in your send offer over a year, that's an indication to me that no interest.
Right. Right. And it's coming up to that time of year. I think after the new year, I'll probably go through everything because there's some things that I know I've listed that in the past year after my move that it's like, okay, nobody seems to be interested in that. I just need to get rid of it. But it's just taking the time to go through those things. Like you said, go through your inventory. I did at the beginning of this year, but I need to do it again pretty soon.
Well, and things drop off. This is a known glitch. Right. Even if you've ended it and restarted it 3 months ago, things disappear. And no one has been able to explain this glitch. So it is a great idea to take inventory optimally twice a year to make sure the physical matches what's in the store. And then what's in the store matches the physical, because you could have duplicate listings and somebody buys something, you're like, I know I already sold that, and somehow it got duplicated. Okay, Allison, thank you for taking the time to come on my podcast and be brave enough to come on my podcast.
Well, thank you for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
I get a lot of people, like I'll ask them and they say, no, I don't want to come on. I don't like my voice, or I'm afraid I won't have anything to talk about. And you kind of said that at the beginning. You were like, I hope I have enough to talk about. And like, it's an hour later and we had no problem. So it's just chatting with your eBay friends. There's all kinds of things we have in common. Yeah. So thanks again. And we will see you on Facebook.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks again, Allison, for spending some time with us. And these interviews have become my favorite thing to do on weekends because we record the conversation through Zoom and we do them on either Saturday or Sunday mornings. So it really is just like sitting down with an eBay friend and chatting about reselling. So I didn't plan for the podcast to evolve in this direction, but I'm really glad it did because I have so many more guests lined up and everybody has a different area of expertise or a different experience to share. And I sure learn a lot talking to other sellers out there. So thanks, listeners, for tuning in. And I will be back next week with another fun and interesting guest. Have a great week on eBay. Bye.